A safe space in marriage, that's a concept that we're actually taken from the Genesis chapter 2. Now, I'll explain that in just a little bit, and we want to make sure that we're going to go through this, and I understand there are going to be ladies here that you don't feel like you're in a safe space at home. So, but some of the principles here we're going to talk about, you can apply to make a safe place for other people with the responsibilities that you have in your own life to make sure that you're approachable. But there's a beauty in marriage that God has designed, and we want to begin to unpack a little bit about what God has taught us over the nearly 30 years of marriage. You know, we make these soaring vows on our wedding day, soaring vows. But if we were really honest and realistic about our wedding vows, they would probably go something more like this. Well, Janet, I promise to enjoy your unqualified support and admiration of me at all times.
I will appreciate you always putting me first and thinking of me.
Of course. And I will be grateful for you laughing at my jokes and making me feel important all the time.
Well, I promise to enjoy how you perfectly make me feel secure and you never sin against me.
Never. I will accept your worship of me. And I will live up to your exalted view.
And as long as you continue to do all these things, I will just continue to give myself to you.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we don't typically say those kinds of things. At least I hope not. But that is, you know, right now, that's the way we tend to function. In the wilderness, and I say wilderness when we're east of Eden. So Eden means delight. But how can we begin to cultivate just a taste of delight or a taste of Eden in this barren land of the wilderness that we find ourselves in many times? It certainly is hard. And we'd like to share our testimony a little bit about what God has taught us for fighting for that taste of delight or taste of Eden. Now, I understand getting a couple up here to testify to you about, you know, loving your spouse and creating a safe place is filled with potential pitfalls. One danger could be personal hypocrisy for Janet and I, teaching on a topic that we're not regularly practicing. Another danger could be leaving an inflated impression of Janet and I as well. You know, you're thinking, or maybe you're thinking, they have it all together. And we don't want to act here. Janet and I don't want to act like we have it all together. We are just like you, and we need our Savior every day. But first, let me address our first concern, personal hypocrisy. Janet and I plan to communicate to you what we have experienced and done and about what God has taught us in our marriage, not about some kind of a Disney World, magical kingdom kind of fantasy. So while I wish I could say to you that Janet and I go out on a date tonight every week and where we arrange a romantic carriage ride, and I personally sing Barry Manilow songs, you know, I Can't Smile Without You. You know, that's not what we do. So
I'm actually very grateful for that.
Are there moments of romance? Absolutely. You know, when iTunes first came out on the scene, and I still use iTunes. Nobody uses that anymore, Harley. Spotify is the thing. I still use iTunes. But when iTunes first came out on the scene, I did make a love song CD with Barry Manilow songs on it. But I never have done karaoke to my wife with these songs. So
again, grateful.
Yet after 28 years of marriage, we've learned a little bit that my wife enjoys it. When I give thoughtful attention to her on special days like Mother's Day, and her birthday and our anniversary. And I learned also not just to have a mother's single day, but we have a mother's weekend where it's all about her for the weekend. And I learned to make her favorite strawberry shortcake for my wife for her Mother's Day weekend. And I learned to do that. So there's a little bit of romance here and there.
And that my husband enjoys having time to think and having some quiet and time to process when he gets home from a busy day at work filled with talking to people all day long. I learned to hold off on reciting all of the incredibly important things that I've been waiting for an adult to be into my life to say them to as soon as he gets home back, especially when I was homeschooling my kids all day, to give him a little time before I launched into all of the incredibly important things he needed to hear.
Absolutely. For our 22nd anniversary. So I did take my wife on a magical Disney cruise where we had an awesome time of reconnecting and praying and listening to some messages on marriage, ones from Tim Keller, actually, and just having a lot of fun together. And I'm glad to have a companion in life to share with. And after all the years of attempting to practice marriage God's way, it certainly was much more, well, harmonious than our honeymoon nights.
Okay, that's another story. We're not going to get into it, but it did include Brent angrily walking away to get a shower and informing me that I had better be ready to talk about why I was crying when he got out, or else.
We've come a long way since our honeymoon.
I don't know what he was going to do, but I don't know.
Yeah. And I've learned a little bit about romance and cherishing my wife. My wife has also learned how to give me in ways that show me love. You know, a few years ago, my wife bought me probably the coolest Father's Day gift ever. You know, what do boys and men love? They love, like, toys. They love toys. And as you get older, your toys get bigger, right? Toys, gadgets, and cool things. Well, no romance here. Give me the fun stuff. My wife ordered at a huge discount because this company was a startup company, and one of the coolest toys ever for somebody like me who loves Star Wars. Now, I was going to show you a picture. We couldn't get it on air. She bought me a legitimate Stormtrooper outfit. I don't know if you've seen it online, but when I had pictures, a Stormtrooper. Who doesn't want one of those? You know, I set to work on assembling it and working on it and so that it fits me and all that. It took me about 2 months to build.
And part of why it was cheaper.
That's right.
Make your own.
It didn't, yeah. You know, I got to try it out at church and a VBS and all that kind of stuff. And when I bring it out and I'm in that Stormtrooper suit, the kids just love it. However, there was a problem. I don't know if you've seen Star Wars, but the Stormtroopers have digitized voices. I know, I'm probably speaking like, you don't care about these things. But nevertheless, the Stormtroopers have this digitized voice thing. And my homemade voice digitizer, my wife just said, that was kind of lame, Brent. So I said, well, I need something. And, well, can you guess? The next Father's Day, she got me a legitimate voice digitizer. And that's what she opened. That's what I opened from her the next Father's Day. So the first danger, hypocrisy. We are attempting not to communicate to you beyond where we are living. Second danger, false impressions of reality. It would not be our desire to rob you of hope this morning. Several of you are struggling in your marriage. That's obvious in any kind of crowd. Maybe not obvious, but just expected. So it's not helpful for Janet and I to present something to you that is out of your reach or not in line with reality. So we're not better than you folks. We're just not. And we have had many struggles. And today, the single concept we want to present to you in this talk is within reach of all of us. Because the concept that Jan and I are attempting to live out in our marriage, not perfectly and not always consistently, but yes, the concept has been a growing part of our relationship over the last years of our marriage, and especially is applicable for relationship, but it could be applied in all spheres of life so you become more approachable and a safe place for others. So being a safe place, that's the title of the lecture, being a safe place for sin to be exposed, not a safe place to sin, but a safe place for sin to be exposed. So whether you're single or married, you can be providing a safe place for sin to be exposed in your relationships. Okay? Now, the picture in Genesis chapter 2. So normally I talk about Genesis chapter 2 when I'm doing marriage conferences, the kind of marriage conference if you come to that retreat that you'll see. But in Genesis chapter 2 is a picture of a beautiful paradise sanctuary that God made for Adam and Eve. And in that first paradise sanctuary that God created for the first married couple, the final description of the relationship is that Adam and Eve were both naked and not ashamed. Now, there's all kinds of implications to what that picture is. So, but at least it means this. There was nothing between Adam and Eve, not even a garment of clothing. Nakedness there indicated at least that they were, and here is what I'm trying to communicate, fully exposed. They were fully exposed to each other and to their environments. And in their full exposure, and we can't imagine what I'm about to say, because we've never tasted anything like it, really. In their full exposure, there was no fear. There was no hiding. There was no thought of,